Hello, everyone. This is Fausto Fernos, and you are listening to a very special Feast of Fools podcast. We are sitting here with my lovely partner, Mark Felian, at the Rotunda in Washington, D.C., while the president is going to be making her State of the Union address.
It's so exciting. The thing is, there's throbbing. There's people milling about everywhere. Look, I think I see Nancy Pelosi over there.
The excitement is so thick and rich. It's like a three-scoop banana split sundae with whipped cream, maraschino cherries, and nuts.
Ooh, is something happening? Something happening?
Well, no, that's just the cameraman turning on their lights.
Wow.
And people are thinking that the event is going to start soon. But in fact, we're going to be hearing for the next 30 or 40 minutes inane blather about politics.
Droning. It's the droning on and on and on.
So what do you think we can expect the president to
be
saying?
I don't know. There's important issues. She's got to bring up very important ones. I don't know what she's going to touch on. I think there might be some talk about drilling.
There's a lot of discussion about environmentalism.
The environmentalism, the crabs.
A lot of diseases.
Lots of things going on.
Social and environmental disease.
Wait, is she coming?
Yes, I think I see President Ronnie Vanna coming onto the stage to do her State of the Poontang undress.
Woo! Ronnie Vanna, President of KIR, keeping it real, and the State of the Poontang address.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please remain excited, for we are going to be listening. Well, if you are taking a lot of acid, you're probably seeing things too. But we're going to be listening to the president of Keeping It Real, Ronnie Vanna. And now the official Feast of Fools band will be playing Hail to the Chief.
What's going on, girl? You doing okay? Babies of the world, children of the planet Earth, 6 foot is everywhere. It is my pleasure to announce that never in the state of Poontangism has it been in such a better condition. As president of KIR, keeping it real, and the proud owner of a well-working, self-lubricating vajayjay, it is my pleasure to announce that states of affairs have never been better. Now, I understand that we have been under duress. Times have been rough. Hell, Rosie can't go on air without fucking somebody up, okay? However, things are on the horizons are getting better. Now, I don't have to remind you that things were tough. But yet we face this problem head on as a true proud nation that we are. We had to send in the troops, but prior to that, we had to clear the bush. We had to make it more inviting for the invasion to begin. We sent in the troops, and we pulled them out. And we sent them back in, and we pulled them back out again. We sent them once back in for one final plunge. And just for good measure, we called in a Marine force. Because after the invasion was said and done, there was excess semen all over the place. I have a dream. I had an awesome dream. There were people in the park playing in the dark. But what Lionel Richie has to sing about this has absolutely nothing to do with the State of the Vajayjay address. Back to what we were talking about. My dream is to end the controversy over drilling. Yes, children, there will be drilling, but we will not be drilling in Alaska. We will not be drilling in Montana. Instead, we will be drilling in the wetlands. And drilling we must. We will be drilling in the day. We will be drilling at night. We will be drilling 24 hours. We will be drilling 365 days a year. Praise Lord. Oh, sweet Jesus. And once again, in part of this dream is to decrease our dependency on foreign forces. But then again, a little foreign tongue every now and then never hurt anybody. Let us not forget, we do have a missile crisis. The crisis is, those missiles are small. Children, do not be invaded by a small army. Always remember that vajayjay is a state of mind, and small missiles are not a native of that state. And in closing, I'd like to recognize my other constituents that are not fond of the vajayjay, which is all right. Because one does not have to partake of the vajayjay. If you are not partaking of the vajayjay, respect it. Thank you for your time. God bless. God bless the vajayjay, where all blessings come from. Babies, it's gonna be all right.
Get ready to get pussy whipped, because Ronnie's in the house. On today's show, Hillary Clinton announces her Me Too presidential bid.
Shark attacks.
Sexy iguanas.
My week in review.
And lots of information for you that you didn't know you didn't need to know, but now that you know, you're glad you found out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And Miss Ronnie.
And Peter.
Stay tuned.
Of life, I compete every day. I set my own rules, and I don't need balls to play. Offense is my defense. I won't be caught offsides. I'm in the extra zone, and I won't be penalized. Assertive or aggressive. Hey, name it if you will.
All right, everybody. The Feast of Fools is brought to you by gorgeous, beautiful listeners like you. Your generous support. You're getting a Feast of Fools t-shirt. Helps bring this podcast from our mouths to your ears.
We really, really couldn't do it without you. And we do have a special offer.
What? We do?
We do, yeah. Violet9, what Benjamin wrote and said that the next 10 people that buy t-shirts, he'll send them a Violet9 CD.
Oh, well, we'll have to play Violet 9 at the end of the show.
We definitely will.
I was like, that is fantastic.
I know. It's a wonderful thank you, Benjamin.
Now, I have a little bone to pick with President Ronnie's State of the Poontang undress. Really, what should it be called?
Are you going to do a rebuttal?
I will be. It's like, you know, I understand the value of speaking out on behalf of women's bodies.
Absolutely.
Because they just don't get, it's like Rodney Dangerfield. They just don't get no respect.
From gay men.
I think there's a lot of straight men. There's a lot of violence against women all over the world.
Oh, yes.
And there's a lot of has a full-time job talking about it.
Right. And legislation. There's a lot of legislation around the poontanging.
Oh, yeah, honey.
Lots of attention, but no respect.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we're here.
And how are your feelings about the vajayjay, Peter?
Sweet Peter from New York City is here visiting us. He's a gorgeous six-footer.
Sexy.
Sexy motherfucker.
Said, no, wait. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he's a citizen of vajayjay, but babies, I'm working on it.
And he's got a gimp leg, so he can't run.
Oh, I like all that. Okay, get him when they're down. Okay.
Gorgeous, gorgeous man. And he's here. He's one of our big fans. Mm-hmm. And we just love Peter so much. In more ways than one.
Well, because we keep it gangsta. Okay, he likes all that. We keep it gangsta up in this mug. Okay.
Because we're like, you know, I'm into that new Justin Timberlake sort of school of pretending like you're a thug.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Well, then you bring sexy back, I'm bringing messy back. Okay. My next song, did I talk about that?
What?
My
no.
next song is going to be, his song is bringing sexy back. Right. Mine is going to be, I got sexy on hold. Then after that,
nowhere.
The follow up is, sexy on speed dial.
The late night sexy booty
call. And then the whole album is going to be called sexy on delivery. You know what I'm saying? You bringing sexy back? I had it all on lockdown, Justin. Wait a minute.
What?
And Justin, kudos to you letting go of Miss Old Cameron Diaz, honey. Good for you, baby. I knew you were going to come to your senses.
But see, he's a thug on the streets, but when he's in bed with Cameron, he's like, hold me.
He's like, we're a little me,
lady. He's a little lady in the sheets.
Femme in the streets. I'm femme in the sheets, butch in the streets. You know?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Anyways, Hillary Clinton has announced her presidential bid.
Ooh.
I'm following the heels of Barack Obama, which we were...
His name is not Barack Obama. It's the Bama.
Boom.
Bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam.
And you know who is going to win the Democratic ticket?
Who?
The people of the United States.
Okay, there you go.
Because we just have a riches of decisions. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Reverend Al Sharpton hopefully will run again.
Do you think he'll run? How far do you think Al will get? Although I'm liking Al. Al's a big supporter of the gays these days.
And that's Barack Obama.
And that hair, you got to love hair like that.
Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both share in common that they do not
support gay marriage.
That's correct. Yes. So just don't get too excited, people.
Right.
It ain't sunshine and lollipops.
We're not over the rainbow yet.
No,
it's still Kansas.
No, but, you know, 7 years of, right. you know, of State
a
of the Union.
Retardation has made us hungry.
So it was a State of the Union address tonight.
Right.
Which is, to me, a lullaby.
About,
you know?
It's how about Barney Frank for president?
Let's get him.
Yeah.
But he's an activist. That's what
he's a congressman.
He's a congressman, but he considers himself an activist, though.
That too.
So I think he feels that he is most politically, he can create the most political change where he is right now, from what I understand.
Good for him.
I'd love to have a gay president. They're going to call instead of the White House, it'll be the Pink House.
Well, you know, it actually is pink.
It is? What?
Underneath, it was actually made out of pink marble, and it was, and then during the War of 1812,
the
British burnt it down, and so they just, instead of like sandblasting it, because they didn't have sandblasting back then, they just painted it white.
So the White House is kind of like Karl Rove, he's white on the outside, but pink on the inside.
That's closet. Exactly right.
Oh, interesting.
It's a closet pink house.
Oh, interesting. Ronnie?
They had to keep it gangsta! They had to keep it gangsta!
So your JJ's in good shape.
I could never better, thank you.
Do you have any tips for the listeners on how to keep your vajayjay in working condition?
Listen, if I have to give tips, you know, there's some problems that I just can't reach. Mm-hmm. However, a happy vajayjay, you know when a bitch is happy.
Mm-hmm. There are exercises
she
for
got
your vajayjay, right?
I
know one bitch who's happy. Her name is Mary. Uh-huh. She wrote me today. She goes, when are you going to get Miss Ronnie back on the show? I said, when you buy a t-shirt.
Oh, see, must have bought that t-shirt, Mary, now, didn't you?
She made a nice little donation.
There you go.
She made a donation to the show.
You know what? That's all listen.
So,
yes.
Shout out to you, Mary. And your happy JJ.
And your happy and tender kisses on your labia flaps, girl.
We went to Wendy's tonight and got ourselves a Big Mac and a fries and a Frosty. With the money, you know,
I was finally able to eat.
We brought Ronnie out of the cold, out of her cardboard box, and indoors. But you know what? It was all for a good cause, and that is the fighting for the rights of the vajayjay. Because without the vajayjay,
where would any
nothing.
Of you motherfuckers be?
You have all been kissing vajayjay when you came out of your mother's vajayjay.
Right there, right.
And Oprah's now endorsing the word vajayjay. On her show.
What?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, she actually said she likes to refer to her vagina as her vajayjay.
Wow. I grew up next to a girl, and her she
used to call... Gail.
Actually, that's her nicknames for each other. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I grew up next to a girl, and she used to call her vajayjay her value.
Her value meal?
Her value. Isn't that fucked up? Her mother would refer to her vagina as her value, as though that were her value.
You know, for some people...
I think that's fucked up.
You
what do you
what,
think,
honey?
Listeners? Value, is that fucked up or what?
Know your worth. Okay? Know your worth.
For some people, that's all you got. You
that's
know?
All
because
you got.
Because I met
and your
some
cooter.
Men that don't have the change of a nickel. Okay? That's all I can say.
And so, you know, you got to do what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Maximize what you have minimized.
Hey.
So who would you like to see on this ticket anyway? Let's go back to the Hillary
Clinton. Oh, yes.
Do you want Hillary Clinton as president and Barack Obama as vice president, or do you want the reverse?
I just, you know...
Can I say
can
something?
I
have a feeling
three.
If Hillary was the vice president and he was the president, I don't think he would live very long. I think she'd be like, hi, look, my husband was in charge of the CIA.
Well, there is a
years.
Sort of a weird... It would be... It is going to be interesting now that Hillary is running for president, who she announced to be her... Now, do you have to actually announce her running mate?
As opposed to her mate. Mate.
Yes. It's not going to be Bill Clinton, although that would
be
nice.
He could be vice president, right?
You think? You got to get closer to the microphone, sweetie. Problem,
yeah, you have to get into the microphone.
Speak in the mic, baby. Project.
If you can't hear yourself, they can't hear you.
Inspect, select,
but
project.
But see, the thing is, though, would he be able to become president? Like, let's say she died.
If she died, no.
No, so it would go to the Speaker of the House then after
which
that.
Which would be Nancy Pelosi.
Right. Well, maybe then. I don't know. Well, it could be somebody
else.
This
whole nation's pussy whipped.
Oh, my God.
Well, the vajayjay. It is the vajayjay, isn't it? We got the estrogen factor working on you, okay? Condoleezza Rice is up in that bitch. Okay.
Now, you were watching Condoleezza Rice and
honey,
Nancy Pelosi exchange
Nancy Pelosi
looks.
Was there, and when Condoleezza kind of came in the Oval Office, or the, where is it? Where,
the Rotunda. The Rotunda.
I like that word.
You know,
that's a good word.
Her ovary shriveled. It may be me. Maybe I'm reading into shit, but I could swear she shot Nancy Pelosi a look. I'm sure she's like...
She said, you out me, bitch, and I will kill you.
Out her.
Oh, yeah, she's famous for being a lesbian.
Condoleezza Rice. She's a
That's
lesbian.
Why she got that gap there. She sucked that clitoris right up between the shaft.
She's a lesbian. Her... It ain't because she loves vajayjay so much. It's because no man will fuck her. Okay, so she a lesbian by default.
That's why you maximize what you've got minimized.
What my girlfriend Amy Sedaris says?
What'd she say?
Accentuate the positive, medicate the negative. There you go.
That's good. Hey, Roddy, I got a new story for you.
What is it?
And it comes from your favorite country in the world.
Where?
Australia.
Oh, hell no, honey. The land down under. You know what goes on down under? Okay. Look, if you look under a log, if you go underwater, you know, there are all kinds of shit you don't want to be there.
Yes, really.
You don't want to look.
No. So what happened?
So this guy, Eric Nusshaus, he's 41 years old, suffered a broken nose, cuts and bruising after fighting his way out of the jaws of a killer white shark.
Wait.
Yes.
All right. I want to expound on my theory about Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In every newsreel, in every movie that I've ever seen where it takes place in Australia, mm-hmm. I have not seen one unfortunate looking person.
Oh, they're very handsome, yes.
Well, you know why? Because of all the venom. And all the
ugly's been worked out.
Oh,
of
honey,
the gene
they
pool.
Have been. You know, I'm almost kind of mm-hmm. in favor of that type of shit. I am. Because if you follow an ugly person mm-hmm. and you follow them home and mm-hmm. they ring that doorbell, chances are someone ugly is going to open that door for them. You
and
know?
It's the bottleneck effect down there. So this guy, he's down there and he's swimming. So this big white shark, because it's dark underwater, they don't see Woo. It. And it comes up, bites him on the head.
On
and
the
then
head.
Around the torso. His head is inside of the shark. And it's biting on his torso, but he's got this lead jacket because he's an abalone hunter, fisherman, or I guess, whatever. And so he is like inside practically this great white shark.
Okay, now wait a minute. What? Explain the lead vest.
He's got a lead vest to keep him weighted down.
Oh, okay. Oh,
he's a snorkeler.
He's a snorkeler trying
He's a scuba diver.
He's a scuba diver getting eating clams and stuff like
okay.
that. And so it's chomping on him. And so he's able
he's
to like...
He's eating clams?
No. He's
deep sea diving for that.
Oh. Abalone. You know what abalone is, right?
The shells. Those big abalone shells. Conchas.
Conchas. Okay.
Sushi.
So,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll stay with that. Okay.
We'll stay with that. And so what was I going to say? So yeah, he was doing that. And so then he was able to free himself. Like, I guess he like jabbed it and stuff like that. And so it spit him back out.
Now, I don't understand, you know... Ronnie, you diss Australia a lot.
I do not diss.
Why?
Well, I do not diss.
Yes.
I simply state facts, honey. Like, 7 out of the 10 deadliest snakes on the planet live there. They got deadly insects. Mm-hmm. They got, you can't walk on the beach because they got those jellyfish that are going to sting you.
The kangaroos will beat the shit out of you.
They will fuck you up.
And you don't even
want to
start with a koala bear.
Oh, no, the koala bears. Oh, no.
They're mean little things.
Well, you know, if you had to eat eucalyptus all day, mm-hmm. you know, it would probably affect your
and
mood.
And I don't trust those kangaroos either. They got that little pouch. They could hide shit in there.
Well, you know what?
Well,
let me tell you something, honey, okay? Because
like
I am not a marsupial, but there was a time when my love was like a desert and I needed terrain. And all these gay boys, I mean, what is up with straight boys now? You know, you gay boys. Always taught them some shit. All they want to do is fuck a bitch up the ass, honey. I wasn't using mine for the longest. I put spare change. I put my keys.
But Australia,
shit, you
Ronnie.
Know,
Australia.
Up in there, you
Australia
know?
Was founded by criminals. And it's a country you might want to consider visiting.
Because
it's full of thug love.
We like all that. You know. But wait a minute.
What's that?
Listen, old boy who fought his way out of the shot, baby, get better and call a bitch. I know you're gangster. Okay. I know you are gangster.
There are some
honey,
beautiful
okay?
men in Australia.
Right. Now, remember, though, South wasn't really, it wasn't founded by what do you call it, convicts. It was invaded by criminals. There were people living there for a long, long time before
the
Aborigines were there for a long time. Had a very.
And where are they today? They're not listening there. To this podcast.
I think they are. They're playing their didgeridoo and listening to the show. That's some fucked up music.
Oh, I think I love it. You know,
you get
a couple of
sounds great on acid.
You take a couple of scotch and sodas, like a good friend Peter is drinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you just relax.
Scotch.
Oh, straight.
Did you
scotch.
Want some ice for that?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Honey, this man had been drinking
why
so long.
Why water it down now?
He's been drinking so long, his blood type is 100 proof.
It's the only thing that I do straight.
You drink a couple of scotch and sodas and you listen to those didgeridoos on the, you know, a good home stereo system. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
I don't know. I say didgeridoo. Don't.
Oh my god!
Why not?
Well, it's big and long and hard. And you can get your mouth around it.
Friday, how was your week been?
Well, you know, I got this little camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, everything has been a photo op, darling. Everything.
What are you
has
taking
been
pictures of?
You know what?
You taking those pictures in the mirror of yourself naked?
You went, you know, okay, AOL. First of thing, you have been way. You have gone like a crack addict over cookie jars. Let's talk about the cookie jars.
Now, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Okay. Here, let's talk about it.
I think it's
wonderful. Why is it that when I broach a subject, it can never be just, oh, Ronnie's taking pictures of cookie jars. She got to be a crack addict about this shit. Fausto, here's the thing. There's a place on Belmont and Ashland. It's called Jazzy Junk. And for all you people here in Chicago, if you're looking for a neat gift idea, go to Jazzy Junk. Once again, it's on Belmont and Ashland.
They sell cookie jars.
And they sell fabulous cookie
jars. It's a store that only sells cookie jars.
That's not true. They sell salt and pepper shakers too.
This woman, she started off selling, her name is Mercedes Durenzio. Okay. She started off with vintage clothing and like things came with it. And she has like what Mark likes to call them Southern degradation, the mammy cookie jars. And
but you call it classic Americana.
Well, it's the cookie jars.
So there's a
we'll back off. We'll back
there's
off.
There's a ceramic
one.
Vessel in the shape of a mammy.
Of a mammy.
Or and, a minstrel you know, dancer.
Some people felt that it was insulting. There are other people that embraced it.
Whoopi Goldberg is a big collector of Southern degradation
is
art.
Is she?
Yes.
You know?
That's what she calls it, too.
Well, you know, maybe.
Is she really?
Yes.
Go Whoopi.
Okay. And so they
I
were
know
very,
my,
they
my
were,
celebrities.
They were very interesting. But what's interesting.
I'm dying to go there with you.
What's interesting is how pop culture got its way down into the cookie jars.
Junk in your trunk.
Isn't that what marketing is all about? It's like if you make a cookie jar, cookies are very soothing and endearing to people, and to create a cookie jar is sort of a way of
Fausto, you know what? Like in this day and age, do you own a cookie jar?
Hell no, I put it in Tupperware, honey.
Exactly.
If it even lasts that long.
And the thing is that, you know, with more and more people being more and more health conscious, you know, and this
people
has been going
on. People don't eat cookies, period.
They don't.
And they don't even know what a cookie jar is.
And so these things, along with, like, penmanship, are going out the door. And it was nice. It's very overwhelming.
What did you say, penmanship?
Yeah, people ain't learning how to write no more, not if they can type.
That's true, yeah.
Look at Mark's handwriting.
I have good handwriting.
For a serial killer.
Okay. Cookie jars, penmanship, diaphragms, all the things that are
cassettes,
going out the door. Cassettes,
vinyl.
And so you've been interested in the cookie jar as a form of an art form, and you've been photographing
it
a lot.
Well, it talks about us, because like, I mean,
talks
once
about
again,
us as a society.
It does, because I mean, she's got like the Southern degradation, as I was saying, but you know, there's Harry Potter was up in there.
There was a Harry Potter shaped cookie jar.
There are a few Harry Potters up there.
Was there a Pac-Man cookie jar?
There wasn't, but
I'm sure there is one.
Oh, I'm sure.
What about a Punky Brewster cookie jar?
There was no Punky Brewster.
Well, you got to think about it. It's kind of like a doll in a way. It's like having a little doll in the house. A lot of these things.
But it's a functional doll. You can put food in
it. Yeah. You know,
and think about it though. You know what is the need to adorn something that we're going to put cookies in? You know, I mean,
because
what was the whole point?
There's a sense of stewardship over the home that an era that's long gone past. which is that, you know, there was a division of labor between men and women and couples, and women was the sort of the in the family was a steward of the home, and the cookie jar was a, sort of a symbol for the way that the mother could give nurturing and
she had her
to
money.
Okay, you know. Oh yeah,
and then there's the other idea is that, you know, the family household, the money of the household was actually put in the cookie jar, and so metaphorically to say you have your hands in the cookie jar is really you're destroying your family.
Well, that's fucked up. But you know what? As a result.
What?
I didn't think I would do this, but I put some money down on a cookie jar. These things are not cheap.
Now, you bought a really fancy one.
She's beautiful. And
what, describe her.
And once it is in my possession, I'll be more than happy to show you.
What kind of cookies are you going to put in your cookie jar?
Oh, you don't want to
cookies are going up in there.
Oh, you don't want to Jones it.
Let me tell you something. You do what you want with your cookie jar, Peter. Don't worry about mine. Considering you ain't never going to eat any of my cookies, you don't got to worry about it. Okay?
So, but you don't want to jinx it because it's like she's right on layaway.
She's on layaway.
See, that's the thing. You see, some people say, like, Miss Ronnie's not black. I say, she's got stuff on layaway. Of course she's black.
Listen, you know what I want to say, honey? If you don't believe I'm black, let's go to a bank and let me apply for a loan. We're just going to see how white I really am. Okay. So anyway, there was just something. You know what, Fausto? I don't think of myself as an impulse buyer. She was there.
You're not impulse buying. You've been meditating and talking
about
it.
You've gone there twice to take photographs.
Well, I did because I wasn't happy about that.
I think it's a wonderful. I think photographing something like that, especially, is good because it's almost, you know, you can. Photographing objects is important, but these are objects that have a lot of personality, almost as though they're people. So it's you're probably honing like your photography skills on photographing people, but you're not having to subject people to, you know, the process.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That is what I'll take that. But to be very honest with you, being on the show, especially having the camera, I've come to find that I really love Chicago. And there's a lot
Chicago's
of things.
Chicago's a great city.
And there's a lot of things about it. Especially if you're retired, we don't need no more. Especially for like outsiders. Like, you know, Peter from New York. You know, I'm sure there are things that as a native, he would know that I wouldn't. And so once I get my Flickr account started, I'm going to start. Oh, ye of web feet talking over here. Okay.
So that's something to look forward to is Ronnie's Flickr account. What are you going to name it?
And we'll be selling her flippers on eBay.
There we go. Okay.
Little Miss Mermaid.
Okay.
So we're going to be, do you have your camera here with you?
I do.
I don't, but did you bring your cable?
I didn't, but you know what? I promise I will.
So and later on in the week, we're going to post a couple of pictures of Ronnie's cookie.
One more thing.
Yes.
One more thing, okay.
Jars. You're going to post pictures of Ronnie's cookie
jar.
Of her cookie jars.
Peter, you are really interested in my cookies.
He's a
swinger. You were thinking shit.
Don't tell his husband, Don.
Are you with it? Wait a minute, Don. You know what? Listen, sweetheart. What can I say? There is plenty for everybody.
Don't catch my hands in that cookie jar. Okay.
Peter is a sexy man. Is that, you know, New Yorkers always take good care of themselves. Because they're
Why
so hungry. Because they're starving to death.
Peter is that, you know what? I got to tell you something. When I went to New York, which I love, but I worked this hard to be this poor in Chicago. I could not. Wait a minute. Fuck a curves. You'd be looking at a skinny bitch if I was living in New York.
But Ronnie,
okay?
New York has more corners you can work.
That's true. Starbucks in every one of them.
And you can have 10 cookie jars.
You know what? That's a possibility.
Cookie jars for everyone.
But anyway, I did not see too many out of shape New Yorkers.
That's because they're all running after
they're
taxi.
They're all hungry.
Well, because their apartments are so small, they got no place to keep food.
God bless them. Okay, one last thing. Once again, taking photos all over the city. And everybody, try and see if you can find Ed Paschke online. He's a famous Chicago artist. Mm-hmm. I was just exposed to some of his work at the Chicago Historical Society.
He exposed
I'm
himself to me.
I'm proud to say that he is a Chicago artist.
Yeah.
Which inspired some of his darker works. Okay. And it's kind of valid.
P-A-S-C-H-K-E or something? It's
something
fucked up
like
spelling.
That. Yeah.
Okay, well, check out Mr. Paschke's artwork. And Peter, you had a story about some iguanas or something. What did you want to show? You said
horny.
You know, before we taped, you were like, I gotta do my iguana story.
Dateline Brussels, an iguana with a hard on for 6 days. What do you do? Poor thing is gonna have to get his penis amputated.
Just because it was hard for 6 days?
6 days.
Now, how did an iguana get a hard on for 6 days?
He was watching iguana porn.
Iguana Viagra.
Really?
Absolutely. Maybe it really. Might have been Cialis. I'm not sure. But
what's the difference between Viagra and Cialis? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, but let him finish his story.
Well, the good news is that if you were an iguana, you would only be half unhappy because iguanas have two penises.
Why do they have two penises?
I don't know. But
why don't I have two penises?
Can you imagine what you would do with two
penises?
Because
you can't do right with the one you got. What you going to do with two?
You're fucking
double
up twice.
Penetration.
Okay.
Does he use both of them? Is it like double penetration? Are they into that?
It's a backup. Apparently, you can only use one at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Animal Planet on the face of... And you had a bad pun to end the story with.
Reptile dysfunction.
Why I think it's a joke. I think it's a joke.
No, it's true. Totally
you
serious.
True story. Iguanas have two
I'll
penises.
Show you pictures.
So we want to comment on
Ronnie's going to take
I've
them.
I've seen your pictures. On
so on our show, Weird Science, where we interviewed Grant Stoddard,
right.
Inspired a lot of interesting
it did. It
discussion
certainly did.
On the website. Let me read a little bit of it. Buzz wrote... I believe the reason... do you want to explain to people who Grant Stoddard is?
Grant Stoddard is the author of Working Stiff. He worked for an online news magazine, and he was his boss made him go on assignments researching sex. So he would go and have sex with strange people in strange environments.
My question here.
Yes. He got paid for that.
Honey.
But
Ronnie, you better start working.
It seems like 90% of his stories were about gay sex, even though he says he's straight.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, was something I kind of regretted when we were talking to him is that later, because he kind of said he was leading up to like saying, like, well, I would have gone on
gay
to having gay, like, was the gay was the new frontier for him. And we didn't really pursue that very far because I don't know why. We got changed the subject.
Mark had a lot of jokes he wanted to work into the interview. You're like,
So anyways, wait a minute. So how did he?
Ronnie, it's too late to apply
you gotta
for
listen
his
to
job.
The show. But
okay,
anyways,
okay,
we're gonna wrap this up here. So Buzz wrote on the website. I believe the reason. So he got into trouble because he went to cover
a
private event, and he got into trouble because he was sort of spilling the beans on the leather community. And Buzz wrote on the website, I believe the reason events like these do not allow journalist types is the fact that BDSM, which stands for bondage, sadomasochism, tends to get a bad rap by those who do not understand, and there are several organizations who are out there to discredit and make BDSM illegal. Go figure, London is one of those places looking at the legislation.
What?
Yes, and so they do not respect the confidentiality of the players. Not everyone in BDSM is out to speak. They could lose their families, they could lose their kids, they could lose their jobs just for expressing themselves consensually, safely, sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's kind of extreme, one guy's dressed up as strawberry shortcake.
Mm-hmm.
Whipped cream.
So Pop Don reacted and said, why do we do this? There are many different reasons why people engage in different types of BDSM. Being put through a certain amount of controlled pain can be extremely cathartic. My first flogging ended up with me bursting into tears and falling into the arms of a man who had been flogging me, and I left there feeling better than I had in a long time.
I think wow. I would cry after being flogged, too.
So then my mom, of course, you know, she cried when she got massage.
Right.
And Patricia
right.
had to jump in. To the conversation, she wrote, being as how we've had sexual abuse go on in our family, and having studied it in graduate school, my mother studied sexual abuse in graduate school. I did not know this.
The fact that this shit goes on to the degree that it's a study fucks
it's
my
a study.
Head.
Well, considering that my mother studied Spanish poetry is even more impressive. I would like to comment on the bonding experience to which Pup Don refers to. It reminds me of what happens with abused children. They actually bond with their parents through the abuse, which of course makes them very confused and can have long-lasting deleterious effects. And so while all of this sexual activity between and among adults described in this program is consensual and interesting, it would wreak psychosocial havoc in a person whom it were thrust unwillingly.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual trust and agreement are of prime importance and are not only in these types of experiences, but in relationships in general.
couldn't we say?
And what did I write to you? I responded pretty funny to your mom. Your mom liked my response. What was it?
Well, you know, you don't remember. Let me say this.
No, I was pretty much, okay, welcome to the, what did I?
Mom's ready for us a little leather.
Mom's ready for a little leather.
Let me say this much. I don't necessarily understand all of that stuff. I can say this, though. After meeting Puppet D and The Buzz, you know what? That is just such a minor part of who they are. You know, I mean,
but they're just wonderful people.
But they literally wear it on their sleeve, though.
And you know what? And if that's who they are,
on the collar.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I will take that with the whole package because they were wonderful people. And I had my own exposure to the quote unquote leather community here in Chicago. It was not a good one. It was not a good one. But
well, communities are like
different.
People, and yeah. They follow the full range of human experience. There's assholes and there's angels.
And all I can say is that, you know what? It's funny. I had to go to California to see that side of the community when it's right here in the city.
Because you, Clark's now the bar that we go to every now and then.
It's a milestone.
Right.
It's a milestone.
And it's closing.
It is closing.
Where Miss Roddy coined the phrase, where you can see the viruses.
Clarkson Clarks.
Well, Clarkson Clarks has succumbed to the disease of disgustingness, and it will be closed.
And so, yeah, it's closing at, like, what is it, the Saturday or something?
Saturday.
Saturday the 28th or something.
Something to that effect, yeah.
I think we should go by there
One last hurrah.
So we will be there on Saturday sometime.
You think they'll let the drug dealers back in?
Why not? You know, I'm thinking if they kept the drug dealers back in, they wouldn't be closing these doors now.
Hang out with Ronnie this Saturday at Clark's on Clark and watch her do some crystal meth. It'll be exciting.
And then they'll auction off the urinals.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's going to be, yeah.
I want the swinging door that leads to the men's bathroom.
I want the dancing pole.
They just have like a swinging door. It's not the full door.
I want the vending machine that has condoms in it.
The scat queen that always looks over the door, the one that looks like the Chicken Run guy.
That's not being auctioned off. He's already up for sale.
Okay.
And nobody's been buying it.
I do want to give a shout out to my babies at Clarks on Clarks, who throughout the years have been so wonderful to me. It's going to be sad to see them leave. You know, I live right next door to them. So to each and every one of them, a beautiful future to all of you babies. Things are going to be all right.
Babies,
it's going to be all right.
If you can dig it.
Not today or tomorrow night. Someday soon, you're going to see the light.
Babies.
I hope they all get
jobs. What's on the B side? I hope you all get jobs is going to be on the B side.
That's Ronnie's new album. I hope you get jobs, you lazy bums. Working at the, what is that we were saying at the, not the car wash, the.
What were we singing the other day? Working at the, oh shit, what was that? It was hysterical.
So funny, but we forgot. It's a joke.
Why gotta we, I just have to carry around a little recorder.
So we're going to be leaving you with a little bit of hope.
How about some Violet Nine?
Yes, from Violet Nine. If you get a Feast of Fools t-shirt. We're going to send the mailing address to our good friend, the lead
Benjamin.
Singer. Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben.
He's a beautiful man.
Is he?
God, they're so gorgeous.
Big Ben.
Maybe he'll send a little picture with it, too. So,
yes, this is Fausto Furnos reminding you to go to our website, feastoffools.net, and comment on our show. Have you digged us yet? The popular social bookmarking site, dig.com, has launched a new podcast directory, and we need your digs. Go to our website, feastoffools.net, and click on the blue dig button on the right-hand side and dig our show as a whole.
Then dig the specific episodes you like so we can learn what you want to see more of. For every 50 digs, we'll make a new FOF movie. Oh, and it looks like we have 52 digs so far, so we'll be posting one up on Monday, babies!
Woo! Oh. And we're up to 80 now.
Wow, nice.
So we want to do thanks to Raw Tribe for digging us. Thanks to Jared, Speedy23.
Rick.
A Freshman's One.
Thank you, George.
Panda Poo. Corey Howard, Corey 108.
And Ruby Fruit Radio.
Mac E. Avelli.
And Guy Peters.
Paul, a.k.a. Harry.
Bashino.
Richard A. Smith, H. Smith Jr., RHS Jr. 7.
And Go To New York, otherwise known as Go Tony.
Go Tony, Rayquel, the Sistress.
And Anna, the Librarian.
Oh, dang, it's Jace.
And Mike Brazell.
Mike Brazell, Slim Slice.
Peter White.
Magical Faster Mike.
People. Peter White.
Jason Shoup.
This is Hunter Middleton.
And DJ Viper 56.
Dijvipal. He's from India.
And we will be continuing thanking all the people for digging us. We really want to thank the listeners, because without you,
we're nothing.
We couldn't do it.
We're nothing.
Bye,
and we
everybody.
Do this
I'm
for
Arcadia.
You, babies.
Bye, boy.
And I'm Miss Ronnie, loving you all.
And I'm Peter.
And I'm Fausto, reminding you to make every day
consequential.
There you
fabulous.
Go.
Fabulous.
Possible.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.